And now, if you will, turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we'll take our reading from verse 13 through verse 16. Listen to this. This is God's word to you. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Christ has given us this picture of his kingdom and gives us an understanding of faith. We pray now that you will cause us to receive this word and that we will love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You children have it good. In our culture, we actually like children. That hasn't always been the case. In our culture, we smile at children. We want to pick them up. We want to spoil them. Some of us carry candy in our pockets to give to you because we like children in our culture. That's not always been the case. We get that here in our text. Jesus has just been questioned by the Pharisees about divorce, and we don't know exactly when this account happens, but we know that Mark groups it here, and he brings us into this happening. Here, parents and older siblings are bringing their children and their younger brothers and sisters to Jesus. And the disciples, because of their culture, are turning them away. And in our text then, we see Jesus becomes indignant. And from his response, we see that Jesus demonstrates to us the true nature of children in his kingdom. Jesus demonstrates to us the true nature of children in his kingdom. We see that in a couple of ways. We're going to see it firstly in the disciples' fundamental misunderstanding concerning children. We're going to see it secondly that Jesus demonstrates the true nature of children in his kingdom. Now Jesus does this in a couple of ways. He shows us firstly that children are a part of his kingdom. And he shows us that we are to imitate childlike faith. Now, our first point, though, is to the disciples' fundamental misunderstanding concerning children in the kingdom. That's verse 13. And because it is only verse 13, this will take up less of our time than our second point. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. Listen, as we see in our text, the parents knew that their children needed Jesus. They needed his blessing and his presence, and their children needed to be a part of Christ's kingdom and work. And so they sought to bring their children to him. And so here's the picture of our text. It's not just that they came once, like, well, we need Jesus, and so we will bring our children. No, the picture is this: they kept bringing their children. And as a matter of fact, that's what our text indicates. And it was, and the text should read, "And they kept bringing their children to him that he might touch them." And it could also read, "And the disciples kept rebuking them." They didn't give up, and the disciples wouldn't give up either. As long as they were bringing the children, the disciples kept rebuking them. Now, why? why we don't understand this in our culture. We don't quite get it because we love children. We like children. We don't think it's below our dignity to speak to children. However, in their day, it was seen that speaking to children was beneath the dignity of a rabbi. And the disciples, even though they are wrong here, even though they are wrong, were concerned with protecting the dignity of Christ. You see, in those days, a rabbi would deal only with adults. He would only speak to adults, would only want to teach adults. And so the disciples shoo them away. You see, in their day, it wasn't like our day where politicians will come along and pick up a child and kiss them for the cameras and try to make the world see how much they like children. No, it didn't happen that way. They just ignored them. They just walked right past them. They wouldn't even address them. And now these parents are bringing children to Jesus. And the disciples say, no, no, no. He is the best rabbi. He is Christ. We can't have him seeing or talking to or being near these children. And so the disciples thought they were doing what was right and best for Jesus and for his dignity. And yet we see then, that brings us to our next point, that Jesus demonstrates or corrects or gives a fundamental understanding concerning the true nature of children in his kingdom. That's in verses 14 and following. He sees this. He sees the disciples rebuking these parents, these brothers and sisters who are bringing children to Christ. He sees those parents coming. And he sees the disciples say, no, no, shoot, don't bring your child here. And the text doesn't mince words. Mark doesn't leave us with any sort of question as to what Jesus thought about this. The text says Jesus was indignant. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. Beneath him, how are children beneath him? You see, the disciples had failed to take note and remember that Jesus has already said to them in chapter 9 and verse 7, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. The disciples misunderstand, and so he's going to make them understand. He's very upset. He is indignant that they would turn away these children. You see, the disciples failed to take into account that Jesus is the friend of sinners. He's already had run-ins with the Pharisees and the Sadducees over eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. Christ is a friend of those, and those things were certainly beneath the dignity of a rabbi. They failed to take into account again, who Jesus is, even though they have professed that you are the Christ, the Son of God. They didn't take into account what that means. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 tells us what this means. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, who though he was everything that makes God, God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, everything that makes man, man, Christ was. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so this is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God himself, and he has come and is dwelling with sinners. And yet the disciples think children are beneath him. Oh, Christ is indignant because he knows that everything in this world is beneath him. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of this world, and he is the redeemer. And here he has come. There's obviously nothing too low for him. He has left the realms of glory and come into a sin-filled world, and children are most certainly not beneath him. And so he says then to them two commands. Let the children come. It could be translated, permit the children to come and stop hindering them. Stop keeping them from me. Here are some questions then for us to ask ourselves as we look at Jesus setting things right concerning the children. He says to his disciples, let the children come to me. Stop hindering them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Children are members of my kingdom, those who are in covenant fellowship under a covenant head. The parents who are believers, their children are in this kingdom. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. Stop hindering. So we must ask ourselves, are we hindering our children from coming to Christ? And when I say our children, I don't just mean the children that you claim that you have ownership. I mean the children here at Boyce Memorial. Are we hindering our children from coming to Christ? Are we keeping them from coming to Jesus? No, we must bring our children to Jesus because we understand that we cannot give to them what they need most, a new heart and regeneration. So, how is it that we might be keeping them from coming to Jesus? How do we not hinder children? How do we keep from hindering children from coming to Jesus? Well, verse 13 gives us a hint. And they were bringing children to him. Not only were they bringing him, they kept bringing them. Not only are we to bring our children to Jesus, we are to keep bringing them to Jesus. We are to bring them at every age, our 2-year-olds, our infants, as well as our high schoolers, need to be brought to Jesus. So how do we bring children to Jesus? Let me give you a few ways. Firstly, we bring our children to Jesus when we are fully persuaded that they need Jesus. We will bring our children to Jesus when we are fully persuaded that they need Him. He cannot be optional. We cannot just go to Jesus sometimes. We can't just come on Sunday and most of the time we're okay without Him. We need Jesus today, but every other day we're good. We can't only go to Jesus when we are in trouble. No, we must bring our children to Jesus because we are fully convinced of our need for Jesus and of their need to Jesus, of Jesus. And when we are convinced in this, we'll bring them. How else do we bring them? We will bring our children to Jesus when we are fully persuaded that they belong to Him. You will bring your children to Jesus when you are fully persuaded that they belong to Him. You see, they are not our children. Ultimately, they are His. He is their Creator. He is their Sustainer. And He has entrusted them to you, but they are His. And so we will bring them to Him when we understand this, that He has given them to us in a covenantal relationship as a covenant family. Joel Beakey says it this way. They are brought up in the territory of the covenant of grace. They live under its administration. And if they don't see that as being of any value, if we don't see that as having any value, then we baptize out of mere form and superstition. No, there is a beauty of receiving covenant children from the hand of God. And that beauty is not that we presuppose that they are regenerate, but we see the beauty that God has promised to save children in this ordinary way. This is His normal way of working. And so we bring them to Jesus under all the means of grace, covenantally trusting Him to do for them what we cannot do for them, trusting His grace and trusting His promises. Thirdly, we bring our children to Jesus when we are fully persuaded that we must surrender them to Jesus. Are you persuaded of this? That you must give your children over to Christ. We don't simply present them, though there is that element at baptism, but we surrender them. We realize our total dependency on God for our whole family. We know that God is pleased to work through the covenantal family lines, and we present and surrender our families to Him. We must do so every day. How do you surrender your children to Jesus? How do you turn them over to Him? By prayer. By prayer, every morning when you rise, you ask Christ to bless them, to keep them from sin, and to bring them to Himself. And then throughout the day, as they come to our minds and they come and go in their activities, and then when we lay our heads down at night, we pray to Christ to take them and to make them His own, and we surrender them to Him through our prayers. Parents, if you're not praying for your children, if you're not praying for them, you're not bringing them to Jesus. Fourthly, we will bring them to Jesus when we demonstrate that we really love Jesus. Christ is not just some genie in a bottle. He's not someone that we go to when trouble strikes, and we go to Him because, well, right now finances are tight, and so I need to come to Christ. And so, children, let's gather around and pray. We really need to pray now. No. Your children will be brought to Christ more when they see that you really love Jesus and you really see your need for Him in the good times and in the bad. And when you really are trusting Jesus, that He isn't simply a Sunday thing to you, that He and His Word give you joy. Is that your counsel? Does Christ and His Word give you joy so that you are delighted in His Word and delighting in Him, and your children see this? You see, you can hide those things from us. You can come here for 2 hours on Sunday and smile and put on a pretty face and really act like you love Jesus, but your children know you. And if they don't see that you really love Him, they don't see their need of Him. If they don't see that He brings joy to your hearts, they don't see their need of Him. And you're hindering them from coming to Him. And so they'll see this when your speech and your life demonstrate that He is your focus. When they see that you are continually coming to Him yourself in good times and in bad. Fifthly, we bring our children to Jesus when in our homes, we teach them the whole counsel of God. Do you know the first place your children hear of Christ? Do you know the place that they should most often hear of Christ and their need of Him? It's not just at church on Sunday. It's in your homes throughout the week, that you might bring your children to Christ daily, that you might set the truth of Scripture before them, that you might tell them to cling to the promises of God, that you might tell them what it means to be outside of Christ, that outside of Christ, though you may have everything in this life, you have nothing. You must be found in Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And then in chapter 3, he says, "Everything else is rubbish." Are you showing that to your children in your homes? That's how you bring your children to Christ. You set Him before them in the gospel. You set Him before them in the law. You say, this is what Christ expects of you. This is how you're to live. And when you fail, you go to Him. You repent. You turn to Him. You trust Him. would we find this in your home? Again, we are all good at putting on our church faces. Is this our home life? So, then, some of you are here, and perhaps you don't have children. Some of you are here, your children are out of the home, and you've already raised your children. How does this turn to you? Let me give you a couple of ways. Your grandchildren. Your grandchildren need to hear of Jesus from you. They need to know that just as He is real to their mommy and daddy, He is real to you, grandma and grandpa. That you love Him. That you speak of Him in your home. And further, not just those who have grandchildren, but those who are members here. Yes, these children belong to their parents, but you have taken vows. You have taken vows at every single baptism that has occurred that you will assist in raising these children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You have bound yourself to them. So how do you then, without overstepping boundaries, how do you bring Jesus or these children to Jesus? Well, you teach. You help with the families if they need it. But most of all, you pray. You pray that God would make these children never know a day that they didn't love Christ. You pray that God would keep them from sin. You pray that God would raise them up that they might love Jesus and serve Jesus and always come to Him. And you pray for their parents that they might treat these children as those who are covenantal in their dealings. And so you pray earnestly. Don't overstep your bounds. You pray. But when a family asks for help, you help. Someone comes to you and says, "Listen, this is what my child is doing. I do not know how to approach this." Don't give them Dr. Phil, pop psychology. Give them Christ. Tell them the answer from Scripture. Give them godly counsel. Teach them. That's how you rear children if you have no children. So how do we hinder children? Jesus gave two commands. Bring the children to me. Permit them to come. Do not hinder them. Well, this is how you hinder children from coming. You hinder children from coming to Christ when you do not demonstrate godly, Christ-centered conversation in your homes, when you're not praying with them, when you're not reading Scripture with them, when you're not teaching them the catechism, when you're not telling them of the things of God in everyday life, when you don't take a simple opportunity to teach Christ as opposed to what this world teaches, you're hindering your children. Secondly, you hinder your children when you lack integrity. In other words, when you demonstrate by your life that what you have said with your lips is meaningless to you, you're hindering your children. Parents, when you sin against your children, you ask forgiveness and you tell them that you have sinned against them. And you tell them that your only hope is their only hope. And it's not that you are the best parent, but it's that you know the best Father. And that you need Jesus too. And so you must live lives that demonstrate what you are teaching. Thirdly, we hinder our children when our children do not see that we are excited about the things of God. It's not, "Oh, it's Sunday, we have to go to church. Oh, it's that time, kids. Let's quickly read the Scripture and let's say our prayers and let's go to bed." No. No, you get to go to church. You get to speak with God. You get to hear from Him in His Word. You get to fellowship with God's people. You get to know God Himself. And lastly, we hinder our children from coming to Christ when we ourselves are not growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. when we're not demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit. Yes, impatience happens. But the Lord ought to be teaching in you and working in you patience. Yes, yes, there are times when you will not exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, but God will convict you that you might grow. And so that's how we bring our children and do not hinder them. Jesus sets us straight in this. And then in verse 15, He gives us something else, this fundamental demonstration. You see, He tells us that the children belong to the kingdom. They are His. Do not forbid them. Stop keeping them at bay. And then He tells us something else, that we must have faith. They have faith that we are to imitate. Faith like a child. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. What does He mean? What does He mean by this? Well, He is stating that there is a fundamental principle of the kingdom of God and why children are a part of His kingdom. He is saying that children have faith that we must imitate. Now, what is this faith? I mean, is it being naive? Is it being ignorant? There are people who have taken both of these approaches. That's not what He is saying. He is not saying that we should distort. He is not saying that we are to be naive and ignorant. We are not to distort this like many have. There are some who have distorted this in saying this. Perhaps you've caught yourself saying this. You know, our children are the future of the church. You've distorted what Christ is saying. Our children are not the future of the church. Our children are in the church. They are in the visible, kingdom of Christ by nature of being in covenant with Him. Others have distorted it by saying, Well, we don't need to learn all of this theology. We don't need to study the Scripture. We just have to have faith like a child. That's not what Jesus is saying either. Well, what is He saying then? What does He mean? What is this fundamental principle of the kingdom that children have, this thing that children grasp? And often we do not. And if we do not, we will not enter in. It's trust. We must trust as children trust. When you plan to go on vacation, you don't make your children get their own room, save their own money, buy their own food, and keep their own agenda. You set it out for them and you say, children, we're going on vacation, and they trust that you have made the preparations. They trust that you will have a place for them to stay. They trust that you will feed them. They trust that you will not leave them behind. They trust you. And the fundamental principle of the kingdom then is that you take God at His word, that you rest in and receive in Christ by faith, knowing that His work is sufficient and that your work are as filthy rags. Jesus says, you must trust. You must rest in what I have said. It's childlike trust. Ignorance is not what's in mind here. Naivety is not what's in mind here. Idolizing children is not what's in mind here. No, it's resting in the promises of God for yourself and for your children. But Jesus is also pointing to something else. He's pointing to His coming work and death on a cross, on the cross. How do children receive the kingdom? How do children receive a kingdom? Well, they have to be born into a royal family, and the king must die. And Jesus is saying that those who have trust are brought into this family. Their children are covenantally brought in with them because I am going to die. And so we must receive the kingdom only through His person and work, trusting fully in His promises. And so because we trust in Jesus and His promises, we trust that His promises are to us and to our children. That if we train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. That what he says he means concerning the promises being to us and to our children. And so we bring them to Jesus. We bring them to Him. We do not hinder them. And what will we find? What will we find? Verse 16. And He took them in His arms and He blessed them, laying His hands on them. Bring your children to Christ. He will embrace them. He will enarm them. He will hug them. He will take them up in His arms. And that is a wonderful thing that God does for sinners. And then He puts His hands upon them, the symbol of His favor, the symbol of His ownership, the symbol of adoption. And He brings them into His family, blessing them. He gives this benediction to them, which is the Holy Spirit's symbol of divine benediction, of blessing in their life, that they are going to be by and with and in Christ. And so Jesus is able to take our meager efforts as parents, our meager effort as grandparents, our meager efforts as church members, and to bless them in His ordinary way of taking our children and making them His own. Bring your children to Christ. Do not hinder them, and He will bless them.